Translation. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has freely given this love of Krishna everywhere and anywhere, even to the most fallen, such as Jagai and Madai. What then to speak of those who are already pious and elevated? Purport. Yashishvara Gokulananda Ki Chaya. By Srila Prabhupada. Okay, hang on. It's 2 pages long. Over 2 pages. The distinction between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's gift to human society and the gifts of others is that whereas so-called philanthropic and humanitarian workers have given some relief to human society as far as the body is concerned, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offers the best facilities for going back home, back to Godhead, with love of Godhead. Okay. Don't think that there's another way of going back, in other words, without love of Godhead. If one seriously makes a comparative study of the two gifts, certainly, if he is at all sober, he will give the greatest credit to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was with this purpose that Kaviraj Goswami said, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Doya Koraha Vichar Vichara Kurili Chitte Pabe Chamatkar. If you are indeed interested in logic and argument, kindly apply it to the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you do so, you will find it to be strikingly wonderful. Srilnautam Das Thakur says, Dinahina Yatachila Horiname Udharila Tara Sakshi Jagai Madai. The two brothers, Jagai and Madai, epitomized the sinful population of this age of Kali. They were most disturbing elements in society because they were meat-eaters, drunkards, woman-hunters, rogues, and thieves. And they were politicians as well. Yet, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered them, to say nothing of others who were sober, pious, devoted, and conscientious. The Bhagavad Gita confirms that to say nothing of the brahminically qualified devotees and rajarshis, kim punar brahmana punya bhakta rajarshaya stata. Anyone who by association of a pure devotee comes to Krishna consciousness becomes eligible to go back home, back to Godhead. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord thus declares, maam hi parta vipashritya jepisu papajonia striya vaisya tata shudras tepi anti param gatim. O son of Pita, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, vaishyas, meaning merchants, shudras, workers, can attain the supreme destination. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered the two fallen brothers, Jagai and Madai, but the entire world is presently full of Jagais and Madais, or in other words, women hunters, meat eaters, gamblers, thieves, and other rogues, including politicians, that's me, who created all kinds of disturbances in society, like politicians. The activity, this class is not going to be about politicians. The activities of such persons have now become common practices. It is no longer considered abominable to be a drunkard, woman hunter, meat eater, thief, or rogue, for these elements have been assimilated by human society. That does not mean, however, that the abominable qualities of such persons will help free human society from the clutches of Maya. Rather, they will entangle humanity more and more in the reactions of the stringent laws of material nature. One's activities are all performed under the influence of the modes of material nature. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah. Because people are now associating with the modes of ignorance, tamagun, and to some extent passion, rajagun, with no trace of goodness, sattvagun, they are becoming increasingly greedy and lusty. For that is the effect of associating with these modes. Tada rajastamo bhava bhava kama lobhadayaschaje. By associating with the two lower qualities of material nature, one becomes lusty and greedy. Actually, in modern human society, everyone is greedy and lusty, and therefore the only means for deliverance is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement, which can promote all the Jagais and Madais to the topmost position of Sattva Gun, or Brahminical culture. Srimad Bhagavatam states, Nasta Prayeshu Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavat Uttamashloke Bhaktir Bhavatina Ishtiki Tadara Jastamu Bhava Kama Lobadayascha Je Cheta Etar Anavritam Stita Satve Prasidati. Yeah, a misprint. Earlier when this tamu, it's bhava, it's not bhava, it's in the one below, it's bhava. Considering the chaotic condition of human society, if one actually wants peace and tranquility, one must take to the Krishna consciousness movement and engage always in Bhagavad Dharma. Engagement in Bhagavad Dharma dissipates all ignorance and passion, and when ignorance and passion are dissipated, one is freed from greed and lust. When freed from greed and lust, one becomes brahminically qualified, and when a brahminically qualified person makes further advancement, he becomes situated on the Vaishnava platform. Everyone note well what Prabhupada is saying. It is only on this Vaishnava platform that it is possible to awaken one's dormant love of Godhead. And as soon as one does so, his life is successful. At present, human society is specifically cultivating the mood of ignorance, tamagun, although there may also be some symptoms of passion, rajagun. Full of kama and loba, lust and greed, the entire population of the world consists mostly of shudras and a few vaishyas, and gradually it is coming about that there are shudras only. Communism is a movement of shudras, and capitalism is meant for vaishyas. In the fighting between the two factions, the Shudras and Vaishyas, gradually, due to the abominable condition of society, the communists will emerge triumphant. A little prediction of the future. And soon as this takes place, whatever is left of society will be ruined. The only possible remedy that can counteract the tendency towards communism is the Krishna consciousness movement, which can give even communists the real idea of communist society. According to the doctrine of communism, the state should be the proprietor of everything. But the Krishna consciousness movement, expanding this same idea, accepts God as the proprietor of everything. People cannot understand this because they have no sense of God. But the Krishna consciousness movement can help them to understand God and to understand that everything belongs to God. Since everything is the property of God and all living entities, not only humans, but even animals, birds, plants, and so on, are children of God, everyone has the right to live at the cost of God with God consciousness. This is the sum and substance of the Krishna consciousness movement. Wow, what a wonderful purport. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnanam Janasanataya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaya Shri Guru Venimaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. And Kaviraj Goswami writes, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has freely given this love of Krishna everywhere and anywhere, even to the most fallen such as Jagai and Madai. What then to speak of those who are already pious and elevated? So I'm going to come back to reading a paragraph of Srila Prabhupada, but there is often a misconception when we read this verse or similar statements that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving love of Godhead to anyone and everyone. The misconception tends to be is that whatever I am now, whatever I'm doing now, I can get love of Godhead. And then often the question comes up, well, you know, I've been around for so long, how come I don't have love of Godhead? So Srila Prabhupada now, let's go to this, it's a part of a paragraph, makes it very clear, what does it mean? Actually, the unspoken thing, and well, not so unspoken, because Srila Prabhupada actually also uses the word here, yes, here. By the association of a pure devotee, comes to the Krishna The Bhagavad Gita confirms that, to say nothing of brahminically qualified devotees and rajarshis, anyone who by the association of pure devotee comes to Krishna consciousness becomes eligible. So the word here is eligible. So when we read this translation, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has freely given this love of Krishna everywhere, even to the most fallen such as Jagai and Madai, what then to speak of those who are already pious and elevated? This means Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has freely given love of Krishna everywhere and anywhere. Even the most fallen, such as Jagai and Madai, are eligible. What then to speak of those who are already pious and elevated? So this is an issue of eligibility. Who is eligible to get Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's love of God? And then, now let me read what I wanted to reread from Prabhupada. Engagement in Bhagavad Dharma dissipates all ignorance and passion. And when ignorance and passion are dissipated, one is freed from greed and lust. When freed from greed and lust, one, and then we can think of one referring to us, not someone else, one becomes brahminically qualified. And when a brahminically qualified person makes further advancement, he becomes situated on the Vaishnav platform. It is only on this Vaishnav platform that it is possible to awaken one's dormant love of Godhead, which Lord Chaitanya is freely giving, because he's giving that freely to everyone. And as soon as one does, his life is successful. So the essence, although there's so many wonderful themes that Srila Prabhupada brings out in this purport. But here the important thing is that yes, and probably about three times Prabhupada has repeated it, that our background is a background that's very interesting. Prabhupada says ignorance and some passion. In other words, like passion is already up there in terms of our qualification. That generally in Kali Yuga, people are all immersed in the mode of ignorance. And it's being cultivated more and more to get further and further entangled in ignorance and some passion. And then this interesting statement Srila Prabhupada makes about appears to be a political conflict between communism and socialism, and capitalism, same thing, socialism. Communism and capitalism, and that ultimately the communists will come out victorious. But anyway, that's for another class. So when we come to Krishna consciousness, we're also coming from ignorance and passion, which means lust and greed and anger. And this is our conditioning. And it's sometimes a misconception that I've come from that background and now I've put on Vaishnav clothes and tilak and I've got a big bag and I'm chanting Hare Krishna, and all of a sudden I've come to what here Srila Prabhupada says, I've come to the Vaishnav platform, because we address each other as Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis and devotees. So no, that's not particularly the case. So when the question comes up, well, where is that love of God that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is freely giving? Then the answer is qualify yourself according to the steps that Srila Prabhupada here states. And then it doesn't matter what your background is. So here the background is Mami Paratavya Pasritya, Jepistu, Papa Joni. We may be Papa Joni. We may be Papa Yoni, like Jagai and Madai. Or we may be very qualified, coming from some brahminical background, like Rupasanatan Goswami. Although that's sort of rare, but we have that, of course. Generally, that will be from devotees who are coming from either Vaishnava background or some higher class Indian background. In the West, it's quite rare to find that level of piety. So therefore we're bringing, and what do we bring? Nasta prayeshu abhadreshu. We bring with us so many abhadra. and those abhudras reign. Despite the fact that we practice Krishna consciousness, we are practicing Krishna consciousness not on the Vaishnava platform of goodness. Here, Vaishnava Srila Prabhupada really means a Vaishnava who has actually attained Brahminical qualification, or even a little beyond. But here we're practicing on the material platform. As Prabhupada said to one devotee when they were going on a morning walk, and Prabhupada and the devotee came late, and they apologized, "Oh, sorry, Prabhupada, I woke up late, I guess I'm in Maya." And Prabhupada said, "Hey, you're all in Maya." And I said, "But it's all right. At least it's all right, because we're on the, we have the eligibility and we have the opportunity to get out of Maya. But we really need to get out of Maya. So material world means we're in low Maya. Here, tada rajas tamo bhava kama lobadayasche. And the process of Krishna consciousness is meant to bring us from deep Maya into shallow Maya. And then from shallow Maya, we can get to the spiritual platform. So let's just consider here what Srila Prabhupada is saying. Once again, this is why when here it says Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is love of Godhead anywhere and everywhere, and I'm sure you've heard that answer, why don't I have it? Because you haven't taken it. And which is exactly what the answer is, but what is it that obviates us from taking it? All this karma and this loba and this passion and this ignorance, that even though we have a very, very valuable thing in front of us, a very wonderful thing, most wonderful thing, but still we don't take it, we can't take it. Why? Because of Abhadrishu. Because of such bad habits. So habit, you know what the word habit means. Habit is something that you habitually do, whether you think about it, you don't think about it, you do things like, you know, someone that picks their nose, or they have some type of, you know, they twitch their neck, or they have a certain way of talking, or they stutter, or so many habits that we pick up. Of course, these are just habits of the body. So we may have so many different habits, and these habits are automatic. And to get rid of automatic habits is not an easy thing. Of course, you can, your mother may tell you, you know, sit up straight. Don't sit slouched over. So you can learn how to sit up straight. To become free from all of these things, nasta praishu badreshu, then it's not possible just by being aware. Oh yes, you should stop being lusty. You should stop being greedy. We have our regulative principles and our codes of conduct and our proper sadachar, which regulates our behavior so that we stop acting lusty and greedy. That doesn't mean that we stop being lusty and greedy. It just means we stop acting. Because if you act lusty and greedy, then that will just increase the bad habits. But cheto darpanam arjanam. But aside from that, all the lust and greed needs to be purified from the heart. And that's not an easy thing. It doesn't happen by accident. Neither does it happen by sort of minimal effort. Anyway, you've all gone to school, so you know what it means to study. So someone may have the idea, I just put in the minimum just so that I get a passing grade and that's it. And then there are other students, usually they're very much in the minority. And when I went to school or university, either they were Chinese, Indians, or they were of Jewish origin. Those are the only ones who, because they were very clear what they wanted. And the rest of us, including me, we're just sort of taking it easy, just do the minimum. And school was meant for the type of social engagements and having fun. But in Krishna consciousness, it doesn't work. That's why Krishna starts Sarva Dharma Parityaja. This is like, you know, coming into a school, and you come into a school and they say, in this school, you get 100% or don't even bother enrolling. There's no, what's the passing grade? It's 100%. I think I may have given that example before. There was, Devaki's not here. Anyway, one of her brother cousins was working for British Airways. Obviously not for Malaysian Airlines, but was working for British Airways. And he was doing one of the people who check the airplanes before they go off. So when they had the training, to pass the training, there was only one grade, and that was 100%, which is reassuring if you want to fly British Airways. But if they had 95%, how would you feel? Well, if I happened to be in that other 5%? So they only had one grade, and that was 100%. And although, of course, Srila Prabhupada here in the same temple room said 100%, and it was sort of coming off the Vyasasan, he was sort of let the devotees bargain him down to 90 and 75. But that's Srila Prabhupada's special concession. We shouldn't take it like that. Otherwise, if we start at 75, by the time we get out of temple room, we're going to be down to 10%. And Krishna may not be into that. So it really requires a full-hearted endeavor, because we're talking about purification of the heart. So one may control one's external activities, one's external conduct, and that's necessary. But at the same time, the inner purification needs to take place. And Srila Prabhupada is pointing out that if you want the love of Godhead that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives, then you have to go through these steps. Okay, engagement in Bhagavad Dharma. So what is Bhagavad Dharma? Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam Padasevanam, Archanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atma, Nivedanam. This is Bhagavad Dharma. So, and actually, Archanam is in itself considered to be its own line. This is, we call this Pancha Trikiviti. This is the path of deity worship. The real essence of Bhagavad Dharma, Srila Prabhupada says here, association of a pure devotee. Bas. If you can get the association of pure devotee, that's what Bhagavad Dharma really is. And an association means to hear, to serve, Mahat Seva Dvaram Mahur Vimukti Tamo Dvaram Dyoshita Sangha Sangam. If you get to associate with pure Vaishnavas. That was one of the reasons Srila Prabhupada traveled around the world. It wasn't just because Prabhupada was the leader of an institution and he was he wanted to see how everything was going. Prabhupada was giving his association. He was purifying the world by his lotus footprints, and he was giving his personal association, which devotees experienced, that just to see Prabhupada, to hear Prabhupada, these things, what to speak of, having direct association, this is what made the Krishna consciousness movement. Otherwise, it would have never really happened. And so the association of a pure devotee of Krishna consciousness, this is Bhagavad Dharma. But particularly Bhagavad Dharma also, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavat, because what is a pure devotee? Pure devotee is the personification of Well, I'm holding Chaitanya Charitamrita, but he's the personification of Chaitanya Charitamrita as well. He's the personification of Srimad Bhagavatam. So he lives by Srimad Bhagavatam, he speaks Srimad Bhagavatam, his heart is Srimad Bhagavatam, and by that, therefore, one achieves the result of Srimad Bhagavatam. And what is that result? Shreya. Shreya means benefit. One gets the ultimate benefit. And that ultimate benefit is love of God. But so we're all eligible. What this verse says is everyone's eligible for love of Godhead. No one's disqualified. This statement is there because in different religions, some religions say that there's only 400,000 of you who are qualified to be in this movement. I think, of course, they may have upped the number by now. But anyway, there's only 400,000 people in the world. Someone else said, unless your mother happens to be of the same religion, you can't be a religion. Vedic culture, same thing. Unless you're a Brahmin, then you're not qualified to practice. You have to have a certain level of adhikar or qualification. So it's this adhikar that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu throws out. You don't need any pre-qualification. So it would be something akin to, as we were talking about, education in Oxford or Cambridge. Anyone, doesn't matter who you are, anyone can get in, whether you have money or not. Well, money is not a requirement. But, so you have the qualification, but then everyone has to do the same thing. And it doesn't matter who you are. Depesu, Papayonia, Striya, women, Vaisha, Shudra, Tepeyanti, Paramgatim, everyone has to go through the same process. Engagement in Bhagavad Dharma. One has to engage so that one actually feels the dissipation of ignorance and passion. So we should be feeling that. We should be feeling that, yes, what's happening? Not that just externally I'm not engaging in the activities of passion and ignorance, but it's actually dissolving within the heart. And you know, with outside conduct, you can fool anyone. Well, not the idea is to fool anyone, but with outside conduct, people can have all kinds of... I'm known for sometimes having controversial conduct or things, especially in relationship to kirtan. But I may have good conduct, but you don't know what I'm thinking. You don't know what I'm doing. I know. You don't know. And Krishna knows. And Prabhupada knows. So you know. It's not a secret. All we have to do is really be honest and introspective, and we know where we were, and we know where we are. And then, if you extrapolate further, then we know that at this rate, where we're going to be. So, if it's not where we want to be, then we need to really review things, and that is the real point of Sadhu Sangha, the association of pure devotees, and especially it's one of the real functions of our counselor system, which you call here mentorship. So that aside from Bhagavatam class and so on, the devotees actually deeply in a group. Rupa Goswami talks about this. He calls it Sajatiya Snigdha. Sajatiya. Sajati means those who are like-minded persons. Like-minded people, they share amongst each other. And katyantashamam nitya tishyanticha aramanticha. This is the business of Vaishnavas. Not to talk about it, but to also do it. Because we're great at talking about Krishna consciousness. We're great at talking about love of Godhead, and you're not this body, and so many other things. And then the other thing is actually practicing it. So Bhagavad Dharma dissipates all ignorance and passion. And when ignorance and passion are dissipated, or at least here, Srila Prabhupada is saying, Bhaktir Bhavati, or quoting, Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki, at least a good portion. Prabhupada gives this 75% of this lust and greed. Then, when it's dissipated from lust and greed, dissipates, and when ignorance and passion are dissipated, one is freed from lust and greed. So Srila Prabhupada stated things like this, that if you're free from sex life, you practically got one foot in the spiritual world. Because then Krishna consciousness is so powerful. Here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has already given such a wonderful dispensation that you can just, practically speaking, just pull your other foot in. But it's not an easy thing, as you've all noticed. And sex life doesn't just mean gross sex life. More or less it means everything that the material world is all about. That all represents this spirit of enjoyment that Ishwaraham, aham bhogi, I'm enjoying, and that I have a right to enjoy some other jiva. Whether it's my husband or wife, whether it's my children, whether it's some other relative, it's all maya. It's not, it has to go. Don't try and keep the two together. At a certain point, you got to let it go. And that other person can be a Vaishnava or a Vaishnavi, but can't be my husband, wife, my child, and so on. Nothing's mine. Nirmama moha jita sangados. It's our philosophy. You preach it, but you got to do it. That's our business. We have to do it. We don't want to go to the grave holding hands. Otherwise, we'll be taking birth again holding hands. So ultimately, we have to let it go. So and ultimately, lust in its most subtle forms is very, very, and it can be very, very subtle. And very deluding. So when freed from greed and lust, one becomes brahminically qualified. Because you can't really be a Brahmin unless you're freed from greed and lust. And here Srila Prabhupada is pointing out that although, no, you don't have to be a Brahmin to come to Krishna consciousness, but you have to become a Brahmin if you want to be Krishna conscious. You have to become brahminically qualified. So brahminically qualified doesn't mean this Brahma thread, or doesn't mean having Gayatri Mantra. Doesn't mean being able to worship the deity. Ideally, that's the case. But brahminically qualified means within, one is actually really freed from greed and lust. But the minimum that we require is that at least one's conduct is freed from greed and lust. And then if one's conduct, one can control oneself, then fine. Because why? If we control ourselves and properly practice Krishna consciousness, then the heart will become purified. And then that will come. Yam labde chapari labhyam manyake inadikam stito. When freed from greed and lust, one becomes brahminically qualified. And when a brahminically qualified person makes further advancement, in other words, brahminically qualified means one is in the mode of goodness. And in the mode of goodness, then Lord Kapila Dev explains, this is when practicing Bhagavad Dharma or practicing Krishna consciousness really works, because the greed and lust are not there. In other words, Krishna consciousness is not meant to be a battle with bad habits. It's not meant to just eradicate all of the bad things. Like the other day I was sat down, talked to a person. I said, so what should we talk about? So the person said, well, I don't really have any problems. I said, great, let's start do something positive for a change. So yeah, that's what it's about. Krishna consciousness is not just this struggle, this perpetual insane. Well, it's a very difficult struggle with bad habits. But when the bad habits are free, then one goes in the positive direction. So Nivritti Mark, or this is the Nivritti, Anartha Nivritti. So we want this anartha to become free from all of these anarthas. And then, as Bhaktisthanta Saraswati Thakur, he gives this other, he says, then there's the art of poverty, to cultivate the good things. So it's like becoming rich. So the first thing is, you stop being poor. But being rich doesn't mean that, all right, now at least I've got a, you know, bicycle I can get around on. I don't have to walk on my feet, and I don't, so it's not just getting out of the poverty level, but if you really want to become rich, then you got to go in the positive. So same thing in terms of Krishna consciousness. It's not that Krishna consciousness means, well, I've got no more problems. Great. Now we've got no more problems. Now let's get into the real business. Machita, madgata, prana, bodhayanta, parasparam, katyanta, shvanta. Krishna doesn't say that when the devotees get together, they're solving their problems. He says, katyanta, shamam, nitya. He said, nitya. He said, no, they're always just talking about me. Which we're also good in preaching about, talking about Krishna. But it may be very rare that we sit down in a circle and we say, okay, now for the next hour, all we're going to do is we're going to talk about Krishna, or we're going to talk about this pastime, or we're going to talk about this philosophical point. Tushyanti cha, ramanti cha. And then that then becomes pleasing. So then advancing in the mode of goodness, one makes further advancement, he becomes situated on the Vaishnav platform. Now, I'm not quite sure what Srila Prabhupada means by this Vaishnav platform, but it means that when, but at least we understand that someone progresses in goodness, then you can really call him a Vaishnava. He's not just a Vaishnav by, that he's become qualified by the grace of the Lord, that he can take up the activities of a Vaishnav, and he, not only he conducts himself as a Vaishnav, but within his heart he's also a Vaishnava. Which means that Vishnu Devata, that Krishna is the only thing resounding within my heart. So then he becomes situated in the Vaishnava platform. Now, it is only, I'm not saying Prabhupada said, it is only on this Vaishnava platform that it is possible to awaken one's dormant love of Godhead. And this is all in context with a verse that sounds like, yeah, where is it? And it's under my sweater or somewhere, love of God, it's up my sleeve. I'm not finding it. So it says Lord Chaitanya is freely giving it. But Prabhupada goes through the step-by-step process, and this is only when we come to the developed stage of the mode of goodness that then one becomes one's dormant love of Godhead. It is possible to awaken. And awaken means it isn't that that's when it happens. It means that's when the process of awakening starts. So here Srila Prabhupada is talking about work. It's talking about doing things. It's talking about being aware of the step-by-step process. And as with BA or that one really needs to apply oneself seriously. We need to apply oneself. And as soon as one does so, his life is successful. Yes. So you can see how important it is. I'm sure Prabhupada's talking about a lot of things, but as I was reading, I just clicked on this with seven lines that in the small version of the CC. Important Srila Prabhupada's purports are to highlight just exactly what it is. Otherwise, we can sort of have this misconception that maybe I've already got it, I just don't know it, or it's sort of hiding, or maybe I am actually on the platform of Godhead. Always engaging in Bhagavad Dharma. And of course, Prabhupada had gone over, I think at least three times, because people are now associating with the modes of ignorance and to some extent passion, with no trace of goodness, they're becoming increasingly greedy and lusty. For that is the effect of associating with these modes. So we need to be also very careful about, we're living in a society. Unfortunately, it isn't that Here we are, 100 of us in this room, and we just stay here all the time. We don't associate with anyone else, and we just keep raising and raising the level of our own association and Krishna consciousness. No, we've got to walk out the door. We've got to go to places of work or whatever we're doing. But as soon as we do, those modes of nature become even more active. Unfortunately, they're even active here right now because we're susceptible to them according to our guna, according to our own natures. We're susceptible to the influence of those modes. So even within this Vaikuntha atmosphere of Radha Gokulananda's temple room, still these modes can also work on us. But we need to be very much conscious that the influence of modes of passion and ignorance, which are so counterproductive and destructive to our being able to take qualify ourselves, developing the qualification and for taking this love of Godhead, which is why we're here. Therefore, we have to be very, very careful. I just noticed that, none of you will be aware, but today was a real turning point in the history of the United Kingdom, or at least in England. And that is that today, same-sex marriage has been legalized and people are flocking. And the Prime Minister is saying that this is, what a wonderful thing this is. That's why I was so much on to the politicians as well. These guys will lick anybody's shoes for a vote, anything. I have no sense of values. So what do we do in a circumstance like that? What do we do when the world around us, and this is something that's happened very quickly. I mean, many of you here, I won't say none of you, but many of you here are not spring chickens. This was like inconceivable 20 years ago. No one would even talk about something like this, same-sex marriage. Sexual orientation, well, that's been going on since time immemorial. We don't have any problem with that. But same-sex marriage, and that this is something which is not only accepted, but actually being promoted, and ultimately it's going to be forced, and it is forced. You want government support for something? Unless you have and you support this type of thing, then we're not going to give you government support. It may be, who knows, some church, some temple, they get government support. And of course the Anglican Church has already come out and said, we support this. Because the government may say, well, if you're not going to do same-sex weddings, then why should we give you money? And then the decision really becomes, of course, that's on an institutional basis. Do we compromise values or we just go along with whatever the modes of ignorance and passion drag these foolish people and society towards? Or say, no, that's all right. We'd rather shut down or whatever it is that we're shutting down rather than compromise this value because we don't believe this. And you won't become popular by it. But at least it's something that one will need to consider. Perhaps not necessarily yet in a minority, but in due course of time, well, people just accept things like that. Oscar Wilde spent time in jail for being a homosexual. Didn't take long for that to change. No one would even conceive of such a thing in this part of the world. They do it in Africa or other places like that. But the rest of the world is putting economic sanctions and political pressure on these countries that, well, you don't want to recognize the rights of this sexual orientation. We're not going to give you any more financial support, or we're not going to give you any more arms and ammunition so you can kill your neighbors. And this is the effect of lust and ignorance, and it's going on. But this very apt saying, you can't see the forest for the trees, when we're conditioned and we're used to accepting certain things, they no longer They lose their novelty or they lose their sense of wrongness. For those who, you know, in their youth never even heard or thought of such a thing as same-sex marriage, for example, I'm giving that as an example. For them, that seems to be strange. But for children who are young, well, children who are children now or those who are going to be born now, it's just going to be part of society. It's just like we're out on the street. When I first came here to the UK, you know, devotees were getting arrested on a regular basis on book distribution. Now we're part of the scene. So the law hasn't changed. We're still as sort of, well, I won't say illegal, but it's, we still don't have any necessary laws to protect those, right? But, and that, I remember, right? Once I was doing Sankirtan quite some while ago in Wales, and this policeman came up. He was a young chap, and he says, "What are you doing here?" I says, "What am I doing here? I'm doing the same thing I'm doing here before you were born." And he just looked at me. Welsh people are very nice. You know, he just sort of walked away. So, but because we've been doing it since before most of the policemen were born, it's just like we're part of the scene. It's happening, and of course we're a good part of the scene. But there's a lot of bad things that are part of the scene. There are a lot of destructive, unfavorable things. And unless we have association of pure devotee, unless we really have very good sense of what Srimad Bhagavatam, the values that Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and our Vaishnav culture gives, our tendency will be to compromise with these things, to be influenced by these things. And the result will be that because that then becomes the external habit, if the external practices are not conducive for purification of heart, then it becomes much more difficult, or it may not be possible, to actually really become free from the internal activities. And that's why Srila Prabhupada was, like, he was the revolutionary of revolutionaries. He made like Robespierre look like a kindergarten child or something. You know Robespierre? He was the architect of the French Revolution, and also the designer of the guillotine. But Srila Prabhupada was such a revolutionary, so outspoken, so strong in his views. I was listening to Srila Prabhupada's lectures constantly. And next to Krishna, Prabhupada's most often repeated word is what? Rascal. This rascal, if it was rascal. Like sometimes every third word, Prabhupada, the rascal's this and rascal's that. And he's not just talking to us, but sometimes he's talking to them face to face, and he's calling them rascal. The Prabhupada was very, and he would not make compromise. It was not Prabhupada's, in Prabhupada's interest to make compromise. And Srila Prabhupada wanted us to do that as well. And Prabhupada informed us that this was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's move, which called it the chopping preaching. Didn't really care. What did the public think? What does this important person think about what we say? Are we pampering them? No, we need to repeat, and we need to cultivate the real values of what Bhagavatam says. And then Bhagavatam is also very strong. Swavid varahostra karer samstuta purushapasu. Hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. Put it into Google and see how many times Prabhupada quotes that one. And he calls them hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. And it's not that we're attacking people or we're attacking a process, but rather that's the fact, that's the truth. So, you know, I have that saying, you call the spade a spade. That is actually the truth. And unless we hear that, and unless we adopt that, then we misconstrue actually lust and greed for Krishna consciousness. We misconstrue the vegam, bacho vegam, manasakroda vegam, the urges that come from passion and ignorance with the actual urges that come from goodness and Vaishnavism. And then we lose out on the opportunity to take advantage of the mercy that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is offering us. So, Jagai and Madai are here in this verse. But Lord Chaitanya, they had to change their conduct. So, Madai Ghat. When you go to Mayapur, there's Madai Ghat. Now the Ganges doesn't flow there. But it was either Lord Nityananda or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, you've committed so many offenses. Now, he already got love of God. And he already got Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. But still you have to atone. And what do? You build this ghat, and when the people come there, then you serve them. You serve those who come. What do people do when they go to a ghat? And they will take their clothes off, they wash their clothes off, or they take one clothes, they put on a ghat. So you wash their clothes, you serve them, you keep the ghat clean, and there's a couple of trees so the people have shade, and you take care of the trees, and that was his service. So he had something to do. And of course, Vishaya Charya. You have to give up your Vishaya. You have to give up your bad ways. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would accept. All right, I'll just stop. We've got lots of time, because it's till 9. Devotees have any comments, questions? Vishwambhu starts the process.